Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back. It's so hard for me to start recording because I could just talk to Tara all day, but we have a job to do.
We have really great dialogue that y'all really miss out on. It's a shame you're not in the studio with us to get the full recording.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. But last week was amazing. We are in the book of Acts, which is Terrorize Bible Study, Tell It Well. If you can get this study, it is amazing. It will be life-changing for you. And even if you can do a study in your neighborhood or, you know, at church, at your church, wherever you feel led, do it. And you'll watch women or the people around you grow in ways that you are just amazed. It's only God. So last week, Tara Rye, she storied chapter 7.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much as far as we got.
It took 11 minutes just to do the story. But you need to go back and listen. And if you're a person who needs to hear, if you're a person that loves to read, we challenge you to go and read chapter 7 in the book of Acts. Because Stephen's speech to the Sanhedrin is just powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And I want us to look today. The thing that I really want us to grasp from Stephen is that a true walk of authenticity, somebody who really is walking in righteousness and really seeking to honor God, will hear from God and then will tell it well. I mean, that's the whole premise of the Bible study. And Stephen, here we have this man. This is not an apostle. He's one of the seven that was chosen. There's only three chapters about him in the Bible, only three in the book of Acts. Yet, he is the person that we know as the first Christian martyr in the early church.
Really?
Yeah. He's the first Christian martyr. This man was so in tune to hearing God that in the face of opposition, not of one man, but of multiple men, stood and faithfully proclaimed the truth. And I had shared with Sabrina earlier this week that in the last few weeks, I've been really meditating because I've been almost 2 years now going through Acts 1 through 12 over and over and over as I'm studying and writing and researching and all. Something has occurred to me in that, you know, I love stories. We're constantly talking about story in the Bible. Stories connect with the heart. They connect. And been really reflecting on what does it mean to be a witness? What is a true witness? And the definition of a witness, we have found in this particular Bible study that a witness is a person who gives credible evidence to what they have seen and heard, okay? And so that's our definition for a witness. It's a person who testifies to Christ. Mm. And as I was reflecting through this, because one of the things, and I'm not dissing anyone or any method or anything, because this is my background, this is my training, We train ourselves and we train people to give their testimony. And as I think through Acts, one morning as I was studying, I said, God, I don't see any example of one of the early apostles or disciples when they stand up to testify and give witness, say anything about themselves. Stephen did not stand up before the Sanhedrin when the Sanhedrin says, are these accusations true? He did not stand up and say, well, what happened was that, you know, I was amongst the people who were the disciples following when the apostles said we need to appoint seven people. And then they appointed me because of my lifestyle to be one of the people that served. He did not go into his story at all. And then I started thinking, Peter never tells his story. And boy, has he got a story. He denied Christ three times. He's one of those, got one of those testimonies you go, wow.
God defies.
Yeah.
Messiah. Yeah.
And they never tell their own personal story. And I thought, God, have I messed this up? Do I spend so much time focusing on my story that I have forgotten to tell the truth of your story? That Jesus came, that you sent your son, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the grave and my sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Have I gotten this wrong where I'm telling so much the story of my life that I'm leaving out the story of the risen Lord? And actually, it was at Sabrina's Bible study that she leads. We were all talking about this, and I just wrote down, I go, it's the difference between being emotion-driven and spirit-risen.
Yeah, that was good.
And I wrote it down because I thought, Lord, that's exactly it. Because our stories can drive our emotions mm-hmm. and help people connect and relate and inspire and motivate. But it has to be about the spirit risen of what Jesus Christ did that before a life will be changed. And Stephen showed us that. Here the accusers were all after him, and he just gave them God. And then he gave them Christ, and he showed them the story and how it connected with their lives, and then allowed the story to do the conviction, and these men went wild. So what I did is I went through, and I was just this morning reflecting on this again. Now, within the study, I went through and I marked down all of the ways that Stephen made it known that God is present, that he's here. Because what came to my mind was, how can I stand up before somebody who accuses me? When somebody accuses me, if I am being emotion driven, I am not going to be able to handle that accusation. Mm-mm. However, if I know the spirit that has risen through Christ being resurrected on the cross, and what I have in God who is present in me, I could stand up and face anything. Because I know who my God is. And as I was reflecting on this, I thought, why are we afraid of our enemies when our God, who is creator of heaven and earth, who spoke, and when he spoke, light and dark separated. And when he spoke, all of a sudden there were fish in the sea and birds in the air and creatures on the land. And when he spoke, he took dust, and there's a man and a rib and a woman. And I'm going to be afraid of someone who is human flesh when I know the one who created that person. In fact, I know the one that says, I knit you in your mother's womb. Mm-hmm. And as I have been reflecting on this, I thought, why would I be afraid of anyone or anything?
Can I interject?
Yeah.
I have my womanly thought about that, because my womanly thought about that, because people don't know the attributes of God.
No,
they don't know that he spoke and words came. I mean, he spoke and the light and the dark was separated. He spoke and the fish, they don't know that. So in their human minds think, well, this person is scary. This person is big. It's he or she is intimidating. And I'm so little.
Yeah.
Because if they saw themselves the way Christ sees them, they would have that confidence and boldness.
Completely. You know, it's just amazing. So what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to necessarily read the whole passage, but I'm going to read you just snippets of what Stephen says about God through all of the verses that he says. He says, the God of glory appeared. Mm-hmm. But God spoke. I myself, meaning God, will judge the nations. God gave a covenant to Abraham. God was with him. God rescued him. God assured Abraham. Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God. God granting them deliverance through him. An angel appeared to him in the wilderness, him being Moses. Mm-hmm. There came the voice of the Lord. I am God of your fathers. The Lord said, take off your shoes. I, meaning God says, I have seen oppression. I, God says, have heard the groans of my people. But when the people sinned, it says, but God turned away when they sacrificed to false idols. God says, I will remove you beyond Babylon, taking up false gods to the temple God did not accept. God drove out the nations before our fathers. David found favor in God's sight. God said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. God said, I am the one that created everything. He saw the glory of God and Jesus at the right hand of God. And then Stephen cried out, Jesus, receive my spirit. What I want you to see is that God will communicate his plan to his people and he will make himself known. So as we reflect through these, which one today in our lives, Sabrina, let's just talk about me and you and how God present in our lives through these that is revealed by Stephen, we see the activeness of God at work. It's a pretty big thought, but that's the whole point. We want to transition it to understand that just as he was present among Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, well, Moses and David and Solomon and, you know, all the way through to the minor prophets that speak to us today, he's present. He is Emmanuel, God with us.
Well, I definitely can relate right now in this season of my life, like in verse 46, David, who enjoyed God's favor. I definitely am at a place where I can feel the favor of the Lord on my life and on my children, on my husband, on my street, my neighborhood. And that's present. Mm. It's present. And he's in my home and he moves me to worship. And it's just like, I know he's alive because he just is in everything, in every thought. And when I'm not having thoughts of him, it's because I'm having my own little self-pity stuff. And it's like, I get that nudge from the Lord by his favor and his grace, you know, come back to me.
I love that. I love the fact that God grants favor to his children.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Oh,
that's absolutely peaceful. Huge. And it's peaceful. It is extremely peaceful. I remember the first time that was a huge revelation for me, where we were going to dinner to a home, and the home was not a home of people who knew the Lord. And it was complete, utter chaos and stress. I mean, you could just feel the angst, the anger, the tension, the jealousy, and the meal was uncomfortable. And when we left, it wasn't that we were judging, because we love this family, but it was a revelation for me at how peaceful our home is. And we don't think of, you know, we don't think much of it because that's our home life. But when you're outside and then you experience what goes on, you know, when a home is not at peace, it's really sad when you experience that without the home not having the favor of God. Mm-hmm. And I can see the favor of God in Sabrina too.
You're so sweet.
No, I can.
I love your encouragement.
I'm meeting people that through her Bible study on Monday nights, yep, that Sabrina leads, I'm meeting different women that she has mentored and then brought them all together in this Bible study and seeing the fruit of her labors of being faithful in communicating God's truth and seeing the fruit of what God is working in these women because of what Sabrina has laid into them, which is the Word of God. And they are coming back because it's not her word she is giving. She is giving the Word. The Word of God.
The living water.
That's the living water, the living words. And I love when Stephen looks at them and he says, God gave him living words and you rejected them. And I thought,
that's piercing.
That is. God, please do not let us be a people that reject the living words that you give, because they're alive. They're
what verse active. Is that? I'm sorry.
In this chapter, let's see here.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
I'm going to have to look it for you.
Okay,
there's almost 60 something. I'll have to let you know. I don't know the specific which one it is, but he says that he's given them living words. And verse 38, see, look, God is
Thank
good.
You, Jesus.
That was awesome. He let me look down and there it was. Okay. And so God, when he communicates his plan to his people, it's not for his people to sit on it. Okay, this here is what needs to be heard. And so it was a perfect segue because it was the next point we were going to have. When God reveals his plan, Stephen's standing there. He has the accusers. He could go and defend himself. He could talk about himself. He could a whole host of things. But what he did is he stood up and he gave God's plan. And by going through the history, because see what happened is Peter, after Pentecost, when he stood up, he did not give the whole history of the Jewish nation. He only talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter was attacked because he was teaching on the resurrection. What's happened now is Stephen's taken it a step further. So Peter hit the resurrection. Stephen then goes and he shows them. He says, look, here's your history. This is how God has revealed himself. And by going through the history of the nation of Israel, he is revealing to them God's plan has been made out all along, leading up to this one point of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and being risen. And then he turns and he looks at them and he says, and you rejected him just like your fathers did. He's taking them through the history to show how God made that plan known so that they could see through their history, because he knew that they were a people of tradition. And they have a knowledge, but they need to transition over to an understanding. And so when God reveals his plan, he's wanting them to see that it is living words, that he gives living words that will continue to happen. And so as that process was happening, it was living, it was alive.
And I love how intimate God is, because just like what Tara has told me before, when you're teaching to a group of people, you have to know the people.
Yeah.
He knew that these people, by the power of the Holy Spirit, knew these people were tradition.
Yeah.
And that's where it pierced.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't relate, if you don't have an understanding of these people that you're coming to, that you're ministering to, you won't have the ability to share in a way where they're going to understand.
Mm.
That was huge when you just said that to me.
That's like so important. Knowing the culture is key.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's crazy because culture is not a bad thing, but we can make culture a very bad thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so we have to understand the culture, because we cannot relate to somebody if we do not know the culture. Within our city, I teach on Monday in three different environments. I teach in the morning at the Open Door Mission, and we have so much fun there. And then at noon, I do that at 9:30. Then at noon, I go to MP Dodge, and hi to all of those ladies at MP Dodge. I teach there, and these are professionals, and we have a good time there. And then on Monday nights, I teach way out in West Omaha. And that Bible study, we are a group of women from all over,
mm-hmm.
and come in, and we have a great time. But you know what? Each setting, it's a different culture. It's the same city. It's the same person. It's the same Bible study. But in each environment, it's totally different. And what ends up being discussed at each chapter is totally different.
I love it.
It blows my mind away how it can be so different. And so I'm glad you brought the point up about culture, because that's huge. We want you to come back next week so that we can learn some of the things that we need to do when we're communicating God's plan to others. God bless.